Imagine knowing exactly what your students are learning and exactly which steps you need to take next.
Join us in Download the Reading Quiz to craft meaningful and productive formative assessments that move away from gotcha moments of basic recall and toward assessing what your students actually can do.
In this 30-minute free masterclass, we'll share three powerful assessment keys that work for any novel at any time of the year.
Head to shop.bravenewteaching.com/masterclass to sign up, and we'll also send you a free workbook to keep track of all your notes.
Once again, that's shop.bravenewteaching.com/masterclass to nail formative assessments forever.
Well, hello and welcome back to Brave New Teaching, and welcome back to the second in our little mini dystopia unit this year. Hi, friends. Hi, Amanda.
Hello.
Hello. How are we doing?
It's dystopia time, so you know how I am.
Yeah. It's, you know how like social media and everything is full of like, it's fall, y'all. Amanda and I are like, it's dystopia. Yopia.
Yeah, because I can't say y'all. I've accidentally said it before and I'm like, oof, I'm an imposter.
Did you say that? Does not read.
No. Yeah.
But yopia might be the new way to just talk to groups of people.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yopia. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's going to, I mean, that's going to be like,
fetch. It's going to spread great. The nation. Yeah, it's going to be great. No, it's stop. A new thing.
Gretchen, stop trying to make it work.
Your lack of faith in me is demoralizing. So
I'm not here to be fake with you.
Thank you. I appreciate that you're not just gassing me up here.
Never.
Friends, we have got some secrets to teaching ye old dystopes, and it's going to be great. Amanda's making a face at me because I'm making up new words, and it's fine. We are excited to tell you today about some ways to really like pull just all the things together. Honestly, these three things don't have to just happen with dystopia. They can really make any sort of a novel unit, all class or choice or whatever unit of study really gel for you, but they work the best with the genre like dystopia. Yes. Yes.
And we need to tell you right from the get-go, there are going to be a lot of references to our show notes today. So
yes.
Our show notes are jam-packed with links, support, freebies, all kinds of things that are going to help you actually unlock these secrets. If you are not already on our email list, we send out an email every Thursday with a link to listen. That's a great place to get to the show notes fast. So check your email. Like, yeah. You already have it in your inbox. If you're not part of our email list, we will be happy to take you. Just come on over to our website, sign up for anything, and we'll have you.
And you'll be
we'll send you reminders.
Yes. Welcome.
Yeah. So when we say go to the show notes, we mean it. We mean it, people.
Well, yeah, because quite frankly, yes, this is a podcast where we sit and chit chat, but many, if not most of our episodes are little bite-sized PD for you. And so to get the most out of it, head to the show notes, get all the linky links.
Oh, please.
Oh, please. Okay. Hear ye, hear ye. It's time for ye old dystopes.
Why?
Why? Because it's the right thing to do. Huzzah! Cue the music.
You're listening to Brave New Teaching, and we are so much more than a podcast.
We give teachers the inspiration, support, and tools to challenge the status quo.
I'm Amanda, and I'm a former English teacher from Illinois.
And I'm Marie, and I'm a teacher from Southern California.
Join us at bravenewteaching.com to find out more about our courses, festivals, and get every episode's show notes.
We're so glad you're here. Enjoy the show. Who wants to start the episode? We do. Let's do it. Secrets. So yes, these secrets, like I said in the intro, are applicable to many different genres, but they just work the best with dystopia or just like the kind of conversations that dystopia leads itself well to.
Completely.
Right? So if you have not yet had a chance to take a look at our Teaching Dystopia workshop, this might be something that you would come back to this episode after looking at that workshop or listen through and then take a look at the workshop. Join us if you would, you know, if you see that it's going to benefit you in your classroom, because this conversation is going to do a lot of like gelling all of the things. And like, you know, that moment that you have where you're like, I need to teach my students fiction reading skills, like lit analysis skills. I also need to teach my students nonfiction analysis skills and critical thinking in that way. I also need my students to be working on research and being savvy consumers of information. I also need to look at media and like that kind of content consumption for my students. And there's just no time to do all of the things. These secrets are going to bring them all together in a way that makes the most sense, frankly, in like a really world applicable.
I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, we think so. So that's why we're talking about it on the internet.
Yes.
Yes. So the first thing, the first secret is something that we actually did a whole month of our happy hour subscription podcast about, and it's evidence trackers. It's just, yeah. It's a resource. It's a material. It's a strategy to use with your students to make everything gel. And it's using evidence trackers. Go, Amanda.
So, yeah. So here's where I think we can make a comparison. I think Dystopia to me has a lot of the same problems that we have with Shakespeare, is that because the genre is so rich, we can find ourselves in the planning process feeling drawn to cover too much.
Yeah. All of it. And you can't, you shouldn't. Yeah.
And that, well, right. And because it's like Shakespeare, it should be taught at multiple levels, right? We should have an experience with Dystopia at the middle school level, at the early high school, and the late high school level. And if that's not the case, you still need to make some choices. Mm-hmm. And so in the planning process, we're going to go ahead and assume that you've chosen an essential question already. That essential question needs to be the backbone of this unit and keep you from straying too far. We talked about in our previous episode, the grace year, right? I think the grace year is a great example. If you're going to try to teach this as a whole class novel, it's going to be hard to ground yourself in one area. And if you don't, though, we're going to talk about family, relationships, women and coming of age and development. We're going to talk about men and monsters and villains. And it just is going to get to be too much, which, you know, for kids gives them like brain soup. And then we're not critical thinking. We're just trying to track all the things that our squirrel teacher is excited about. Mm-hmm. Speaking about myself.
Right, right. Speaking from personal experience. This is just us looking in a mirror. Yeah.
Right. So backbone, right, with our essential question is creating an evidence tracker that keeps all of us on track to answer that essential question. So it can look really, really basic. It could be like a T-chart, a table, where we're looking for evidence of answers to that essential question. And we're just keeping track. We can create all kinds of cool things in Canva and Google Slides. Whatever it is that you create, the idea is this becomes the central document that instead of kids annotating or instead of kids constantly having to write in their books or look for certain things and code them, forget it. Mm-hmm. All they're looking for are possible potential responses to the essential question singular, and or complications. So right. Maybe this isn't an answer, but this is a to consider, right? We're asking to what extent, or we're asking how does. When things come up that make me think of the essential question, I'm jotting them down on my tracker. Or at the beginning of every Tuesday and Thursday, I have an evidence tracker partner and we meet together
yep.
to look at our trackers and update them together. Or I'm in a book club and we're all reading different books, but the one thing we're doing together is that essential question. And so when we come together, we're discussing the EQ and what we have on our trackers so far, because all of the books are having the same conversation around that EQ. So more so than any other genre, like I said, I think that the evidence tracker is so critical in a messy genre like this.
Well, yes. And the other thing that's cool, and like we said, head to the show notes or head to shop.bravenewteaching.com to see what we're talking about, because we do have evidence trackers for you that you can use, you can adapt and just kind of like go from there. Anything that you would want to have students annotate, don't have them annotate in the book, have them put it on their tracker. Like that's basically where it's at. And then you're able to keep it all in one place. It's very cool. So
it becomes all of the notes that they need for their summative.
Yes.
They've outlined their essay with that evidence tracker all along.
It also makes that day where you're outlining an essay or you're trying to brainstorm. Yeah. You're outlining, you're prepping for seminar. You're brainstorming your one pager, right? It's a singular place to look for things versus going back through their whole entire book and looking at all their sticky notes versus looking at every single close read they've ever done to find, like, it's the first place to look instead of having to look at all the places, which is very overwhelming. So evidence trackers, secret number one.
Check.
Now, things to keep on your evidence trackers or things that can go in addition to the novel are going to bring us into our other secrets.
and little secrets.
Don't tell anybody. It's a secret.
No. So dystopia especially, I think, lends itself to helping students really understand critical thinking skills when it comes to nonfiction text, specifically current events.
Yep.
Specifically news. And looking at dystopia right next to multiple news media outlets, looking at allsides.com and looking at the same story in different look from different outlets and evaluating bias and putting that evidence with commentary or analysis on their evidence tracker, right? Like all of these things, bringing it all together. I love teaching media analysis skills with dystopia. That is a huge secret to it because it also makes the dystopia current. Yep. It makes the dystopia relevant. Yes.
Another interesting, it may or may not be current, but this is a great time to give students the cross-curricular opportunity to maybe read some legislation, reading yep. bills, reading yep. Supreme Court decisions. I know that they probably do that sort of in their history classes, but being able to approach it from a lens of a reading teacher and in the genre of dystopia with, you know, representation and government being at the center of so many of the stories, I think those are hard to read.
Yeah.
They're very challenging to read. And I think that that's a great chance to give students something hard with supervision and support. It's really, really cool. So that's another primary text to consider for a dystopia unit.
And what it does, like reading current events, reading court documents and like Supreme Court decisions and legislation, like Amanda's saying, what that does doing it alongside a story that's highly engaging like dystopia is it contextualizes these things for students. It makes it less, well, that was back then when those people were around. And it makes it more, oh, because if they're able to connect with a fictional character in a fictional close to real, but fictional dystopian world, then they're able to easier bridge the gap between themselves and history or themselves and just a different part of the country or a different part of the world where things are happening that they're not directly connected to, but they can build that empathy if they're seeing all of those things in tandem. Yes.
And we talk about it in a lot of our other episodes, but you know, in terms of teaching reading, there are not always opportunities to teach really hard things. So mm-hmm. to have something really challenging alongside something that's a little bit more on the accessible side. So like I'm thinking, especially like in a book club scenario where you've given a lot of YA or you've given a lot of reads that are going to be not necessarily challenging to students, they're able to confidently read on their own. This is a great chance to stretch them as with shorter pieces that mm-hmm. are really hard. So we like to create that balance within a unit. So that's something to think about. Friends, we need to take a quick break and move into this little segment that I would like to call, oh my gosh, this thing I bought. I know that this is an education podcast and we talk a lot about curriculum and all the things, but every now and again, I really do think that sharing some recommendations of purchases and lifestyle things that are just making life easier, it all translates into our professional lives as well. So I'm going to tell a quick little story before I tell you about this thing that I bought, and they're going to go together. It's going to make all the sense. So growing up in the late 90s, early 2000s, I was of the mentality that getting a tan was all good. I mean, I can remember the tanning oil, the baby oil, the just complete and total disregard for SPF anything. I remember at one point being told that SPF would prevent you from getting a tan. And there are just so many regrets I have about my lack of skincare and the things that I did to myself in my high school and even college years. I mean, I really should have known better. So flash forward to the life of someone in their mid-30s, closing in on 40. I think some of you are in this age range where you're looking in the mirror and thinking, oh boy. And so I am no beauty guru by any means, but I do feel like when we talk about self-care, a lot of times it turns into a conversation about things that are just unattainable or are extra superfluous, like they just kind of become, you know, or it's like a special occasion, right? Like I love to go to this amazing spa in downtown Chicago called Airy Ancient Baths. Literally, if you're ever in Chicago, please call me and I'll take you there. And that to me is not self-care. That to me is like self-indulgence and it's incredible. But self-care, as I've been growing up and trying to realize like I need to take care of myself for real, has become a battle of my skin. And the number one problem I have with my skin is discoloration and color issues from sun exposure. And so my esthetician and I have been, you know, working together, my dermatologist, and just SPF all over the place is the most important thing in my skincare routine, which is PS, moisturizer, toner, SPF. That's it. It's simple. But I really have struggled with the SPF because I work from home. I am inside. And even in the classroom, I was inside my classroom and I had for a number of years classrooms that didn't even have windows. All this is to say, this is your friendly reminder that SPF matters, whatever you're doing. But if you are like, I can't find something that I like, or you're in the market for a new SPF, I found this amazing SPF in powder form. So it goes on top of your makeup, but it doesn't make you feel greasy and nasty. I mean, every SPF, anything. I mean, the moisturizers are fine. Like it's all in there. Like that's good. But I never really found something that goes on top of everything that also feels good. Okay. So this is what I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you to the show notes and I'm going to send you to my Amazon storefront. It's the easiest way to navigate it. You can buy it through my affiliate. You can just go directly to the site, do whatever you got to do, but you've got to try this. It's so awesome. This SPF is from Color Science and it's a brush on sunscreen mineral powder. Yeah. Yeah. You heard me. And it's so beautiful. It feels really nice on my skin. It's like an extra like layer of makeup that just kind of softens my foundation. And even if I have a no makeup day, which is a lot of days, I can still brush it on and not feel greasy or gross, but have SPF protection. So you're welcome for the most random segment of this thing that I bought. I know this is random. This is not teacher related. It's related to you though, and you being able to have access to the things that are going to make you feel amazing. And this is a product that I highly recommend. I am not endorsed by them. I just scrolled and found it on Amazon, the same as anybody else. But I know sometimes it helps to hear a rec from someone that you trust. So there it is. Color Science Brush On Sunscreen Mineral Powder in my Amazon storefront. Head to the show notes. You can find it on my Instagram. It's there. I'll probably be raving about it for a while because I'm going to keep wearing it no matter the season. So here we go. Back to the show.
So back to our current event, primary document, you know, primary source document conversation. Our dystopia, Teaching Dystopia workshop has a lot of this information in more depth, like way more in depth. We have a whole, right, Amanda? Like talk about our whole supplemental thing.
Yeah. So in the Dystopia, Teaching Dystopia workshop, there's an entire module that's called Supplemental Text for Dystopia Unit. And there are over 20 different articles and sources that I go through and provide within that module. That's just one module. So, I mean,
one module of five. Yes.
I think so. It is module five. Yep.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a great place to start if you're ready for that. That's where I would go, is really pushing yourself to incorporate more texts outside of the novels itself themselves.
Yeah. And that workshop is definitely in our show notes. It's shop.bravenewteaching.com because we really believe in it. And we want to make sure that you can be happy with what you're teaching and feel really good about it. That's why we create these workshops for everybody, because we're both looking at things that we use in our own classrooms that we have developed for other teachers to use in their classrooms. But we're really like walking through best practices and doing some sincere like mentor teacher handholding in a very non-condescending way. So, okay, secret number one, evidence trackers. Secret number two, current events, primary source documents, that sort of thing, paired right alongside, not in place of, not before or after, but within a fictional dystopia unit is so strong. Amanda, let's talk about our third secret to really making just, you know, make that dystopia unit pop, like your eyeshadow, like just make it pop.
Sidebar. I'm ready. Can I sidebar?
You could sidebar.
I don't know why I'm asking you. We always do that. I never ask permission.
Yes, granted.
I did a Target pickup the other day and I got some new eyeshadow and I didn't really pay much attention to what I was buying. I mean,
you,
I
saw the color didn't pay much attention to what you were buying. I am floored. I'm putting this in my evidence tracker.
Yeah, right. Okay. So I was looking at the colors in the palette. I wasn't paying attention to the palette or the description of like the ingredients or whatever. So it's like a pretty bright palette. I share it with my daughter. We love makeup. Okay. So I got it and I picked it up and I took it out and it's like the entire cover is rainbow cannabis leaves. And CBD oil is in the eyeshadow, I suppose, I guess. But all I saw on my app was rainbow. And I was like, cool. And yeah, so my eyeshadow really pops these days.
I guess it does. That's probably not one that you're sharing with your four-year-old. Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine there's that much in there.
I can't imagine that it's being sold in a Target, but that's very funny.
Chicago's a liberal place.
What a different world we live in from like when we were in high school, right?
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah. In high school, though, I would not have even known what that was. I would have been like, same. Look at the rainbow palm leaves.
I would have been like, oh, look, it's maple leaves. They're in rainbow. Like I would have had no idea.
I thought it was palm trees like from like the app picture, which was, you know, teeny tiny. And
it's really funny.
I got to go to the eye doctor. That was my sidebar about eyeshadow popping. It wasn't too far away from.
No, let's make dystopia pop.
Secret number three.
Secret number three.
Secret number three is your dystopia unit can be used for other things, namely research.
Research.
I cannot tell you, Marie, how many times I see people asking all over the internet, I need an idea for a research unit. What do I do for research? And I still see people like doing research in a very isolated kind of way and then reporting struggle. And I'm like,
well, reporting, they're not connecting it to other things. And the reason I say that, that's my own voice of myself in the past. Like, I'm doing this huge, research a prominent person and go through all of it and do a whole presentation. And then we get into whatever and they don't remember all the research skills. I used to do a huge controversial issue essay unit, just the controversial issue essay. And the way I did it, students were not picking it up, man. They were fine. They were jumping through all the hoops for that unit and it was fine. But then we would get into something else and they didn't have the savviness that I was looking for that they had shown me they had in that isolated unit, they couldn't connect it to other things. And it's because it was, again, isolated.
If things are feeling disconnected, it's probably because
they are.
They're disconnected.
Yeah.
And let's also bring to the forefront of this conversation in the year that we're talking, AI is a very real part of teaching research moving forward. And whatever it is that you're doing with research, that's going to have to be part of the conversation. Whether or not you're at the ethical piece of that conversation, or you're like, please, for the love of God, don't plagiarize and cheat. I think that one of the best ways to address AI is to have research that's folded into the natural conversations that have already been happening organically in your classroom. So even if students are going to be struggling on the research side of things, the conclusions they're drawing, the analysis they're doing, the connections they're making, if the expectation is to say, okay, we're looking at to what extent is America a dystopia, research a thread, right? Like we're looking at conformity. So I want you to research a trend that has caused whatever, right? Like they're, or you're going to send them in looking at the technology direction, or they're going to look at something about how technology has replaced nature. And they're going to research what's been done to replace nature, what the causes, effects, but then we're bringing them back to this bigger conversation about America as a dystopia. Mm-hmm. That is going to give you the confidence that yes, we're going to deal with plagiarism. Yes, AI is going to be able to do a lot of things for students, but it also gives you the fact that you know that what you're doing as in a class is going to fold into what they're doing. That's the hope anyway.
Well, it also brings us back to the idea of the live workshop that we've been talking about that is, as this episode is coming out, like very upcoming, looking at synthesis writing, And we're going to be using Dystopia to really look at teaching and guiding students through writing synthesis. If students can do research, they can synthesize, right? So like, yes, that's another piece of it. It all kind of comes together. And the beauty of doing research with something like Dystopia that has so many different layers. Okay, let's take last week's episode. One of the texts we were talking about was The Marrow Thieves. Students can do little bites of research along the way to help themselves engage better. So we can start at the beginning of a unit and research residential schools and research some of the history of the North American, the Canadian US border and Indigenous populations who have for generations been on that border or around those territories in that area. That can be a little bit of research to get us into it, right? We can kind of jigsaw some things with research. And then as you get a little bit deeper, you can start doing some research into medical ethics and medical research. And like, I'm just thinking specific to that story. There are so many different pieces of an essential question that have themes coming from it that we can do little pieces of research, because I have found students learn research skills better in small bite-sized pieces. And then when you string it all together with synthesis, with evidence trackers, with all of the other things we're talking about, it gels a lot better. I've said the word gel a lot because that's some reason the only – yeah, just literally in this episode. That's the thing. Like, it all needs to come together. Like, I'm doing this to Amanda. It's your hands with the fingers spread and they're all weaving together.
Yeah, and then she's wiggling her two middle fingers and then twisting them like we did when we were in middle school.
Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors. Look at all the people.
Look at all the people, which I don't know. That's kind of okay. I don't know why.
It's a weird look. It's not, it doesn't make sense.
I think that that was actually like two secrets in one, though. Doing research in small chunks and not maybe feeling so beholden to the research essay or the research unit.
Right.
I feel like Dystopia, when we did it at my first school, our Dystopia unit was followed by a research debate unit. And those research debates were connected to a lot of the moral issues that came out of our Dystopia unit. So it was separate but connected. And the research debate is another gem for another day we should talk about, because having kids go live and speak about their research definitely will put a plug in that AI battle, because they need to actually own it in their own voices versus writing or copying and pasting something. They might be copying and pasting all their research, but when it comes to debating and speaking and presenting, it's a whole nother animal.
Whole different ball of wax, people. So there you have it. Our three secrets, three and a half secrets, if you will, to teaching Dystopia in a way that feels really solid and feels just something that you can feel good about. Again, you can take these secrets to other genres, to other types of units. We just find that Dystopia is where it's at, man.
Where it's at. We want to hear from you. We would love, of course, we want to hear a review, hear from you in a review. Let us know how the podcast is treating you. You can review us at Apple Podcasts. If you want to talk to us more about Dystopia, send us a DM on Instagram. If you really love hanging out with us and you want to hang out with us after school, in air quotes, we'd love to have you over in Happy Hour, where we actually have extra podcast episodes dropping every single week and resources and materials for you. Oh my.
Oh my, lions and tigers and bears.
Yes.
All right, friends. We have absolutely loved being here with you. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next time.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks again for listening to Brave New Teaching. We'd love to keep the conversation going over on Instagram.
And while you're there, check out the links in our bio for the most up-to-date events going on in the Brave New Teaching community.
Thanks for being here, and have a great week at school.